Don't talk about Sansa during Jon Snow. We'll get to her. Don't talk about Euron with Cersei. We'll get to him. And that'll be that.
Can we talk about your mom?
If it comes up organically. I mean, we try and stay on point here, Joe.
All right, Joe. You have your task. That Lord of
Castamere. The following is a Mediocre Movie Club production. We bore his soul with no one there to hear. Yes, now the rains, we bore his soul with not a soul to hear.
Welcome back to the Mediocre Movie Club podcast. I'm John Kissel, and with me tonight to discuss the upcoming seventh season of Game of Thrones is Shane Settner.
Yo.
Bobby Schmidt.
Hello.
Phil Crone.
Happy Prime Day, everyone.
Sean Riley.
Wu-Tang.
And Joe Settner.
Hey.
If we're going to shout out Prime, we should at least tell everyone to go to the link on our page and
click
it.
That's right.
And give us money.
Get our only source of income out of the way early so we can just focus on the art that the Mediocre Movie Club is so internet famous for.
Can I get paid back for the $9 I accidentally spent on boosting a Facebook post?
That was a choice that you made.
I didn't mean to spend that much.
I was wondering what happened there. I saw that bar. It was pretty full. I was like, wow, like 1,200 people have seen this. That
Brian,
makes no sense.
Brian drank a lot and did it as well one night.
Ah. Yeah.
We're going to be out of money in like 6 months. So if you're listening and if you're buying something on Amazon for Prime Day, if you could just click on the link at mediocremovie.club and then shop as normally, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, we could stay in business for a good 9 months instead.
Yeah, we'll get through a month of talking about Game of Thrones and then abruptly the whole thing will go away. So we learned last year that, you know, despite our dozens, if not 100 or so movie reviews, what we really are in our bones is a Game of Thrones discussion site for as long as it's on the air. Our podcast last season got a lot of churn amongst the extensive group that is our Facebook fans and our Twitter fans and our webpage and patrons and all those people. And we greatly appreciate it. And we're going to do the same thing this year for a season of Game of Thrones that we are even further away from. We have less of a sense of what's going to happen than last year even. Because I believe all of us are book readers.
Nope.
Is that correct? Phil is the only one? Okay. I mean, the distinction doesn't make any difference as far as this season is concerned, even more than last year, because season six had a lot of remnants of the book still floating around in it, but seven is untrod territory.
It makes me so much less useful in these podcasts now.
Yes, so we won't be hearing from Bobby again in the future.
You still can offer all the history and tidbits.
So if you guys want to talk about like trailers or anything you've been reading in advance, now would be the time. Have you guys like stayed away from those purposefully to try and keep it as fresh as possible?
I've watched the trailers, but it's not like any new theories are jumping out at the moment. I mean,
not necessarily freeze framing and looking at scenery and sconces
I've been all over the freeze frame theory of the map room between Cersei and Jaime.
Yes. I thought everybody was doing that.
Well, yeah.
Wait. What? Really?
Standard for Game of Thrones fandom is frame by frame, going through the trailers, going through the featurettes, trying to figure out everything possible.
Yeah. Is that an Easter egg?
Yeah, there's a reason it's done in rapid cut style.
Yeah, it's out there. Someone's doing it. Some guy on Reddit, if not the patrons of the Mediocre Movie Club.
I thought the rapid cut was because HBO just really hates people with epilepsy.
Maybe you can give them the justice they deserve.
Okay.
The Magnificent Seven will be on sale on Prime Day starting at 7:05 a.m. Anytime someone makes a bad comment, I'm just going to mention a movie that's going to be on sale on Prime Day.
Okay, this is a nice cross promotion between us and our only source of income, and Amazon.com. They have a lot of stuff there. You should shop there after clicking on the link at MediaCommunity.club.
I really want to buy this Nakatomi Plaza Die Hard collection. It looks completely insane because you get a replica of Nakatomi Plaza.
It sounds like a lot.
I don't know where I'd put it.
Probably have, I would imagine.
But what is Nakatomi Plaza?
Or does the movie even come with it? The building that Die Hard takes place in.
Yeah, it's the whole building. I don't know what I'd do with it.
Nothing?
I mean, I've seen Die Hard, but it's been like 20 years.
I don't think I own the Die Hard movie. No, I do own all three. Never mind. All three.
Yeah, there's like 18 of them now.
I believe I voted against them today in the FML trilogy.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
FML, for the listeners who are unfamiliar, are our sworn enemies that have stolen Phil from us in a coup of Cersei-level proportions.
And I'm going to be on that podcast every week coming up soon.
I don't enjoy them worming their way into our podcast.
It's a two-minute segment I'm doing.
You can't take time watching us and theirs, and you're going to throw their out here?
I plug us every time.
He does.
As long as we're getting plugged, I see no reason for them to be our sworn enemy.
I get a two-minute segment every week, and in that 2 minutes, the words mediocremovie.club will be said. My guarantee.
We have seen no benefit from this.
I thought he was describing his sex life just there a second ago, but.
Right. Phil, what other sale have you got?
Bone Tomahawk on Blu-ray, 7:35 a.m.
But it looks great in 1080p.
Probably does.
So, moving through the cast of Game of Thrones, the cast that is left in this penultimate seventh season, 13 episodes to go, 7 this year, 6 next year, and then it's over. The big players, the big contenders, we're just going to give a quick update of where they are, where we think they're going. So the biggest player of all, Dany, is at this moment sailing across the narrow sea with her dragons.
She's the biggest player?
Yeah, she's got the dragons, and she's got a bunch of Dothraki people, and she's got the Unsullied, and she's got
Theon, right there.
A bunch of ships. Yeah, she's got Theon and Yara.
I went back and watched. I've been watching season 6. I've enjoyed her storyline a lot better on rewatch. It's great what she does in Mace Dothrak.
Do they give any Dothraki characters a line?
Oh yeah, remember they're
all dead. I mean, like the blind, the ones that the blind followers. Do they get a line?
No.
Okay, they still. I wasn't sure if they actually were fleshed out, but like a giant mass of people.
At least they gave them some jokes and stuff last season.
Sure, and then they got lit on fire, never to be heard from again.
But I do respect. I do enjoy Dany's position. I thought they did her point of view better.
So yes. Kissel, you said biggest player. Now, by that, do you think she gets the most screen time this season?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think she has in the last several seasons.
I think she gets a higher percentage of screen time than she ever has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you also remember we're bringing a lot of people together, so I mean, we're going to see a lot of dual screen time. So
yeah, the Dany camp includes all those people I mentioned, plus Tyrion, plus Varys, plus
and Dorne,
plus
she has
the Tyrells,
Dorne,
plus Dorne. Yeah. So that's all that's that whole umbrella. So you got to think she's coming into the season as the favorite, as the overdog.
But on top of that, at this point,
say that again, Shane.
Doesn't Dorne work against her at this point? They're trying to give as little time to Dorne last year as possible.
They had all of like 2 scenes in the whole 6 seasons. So at least they are paying attention.
Here is a coup. This is a coup. We took over an entire country. That's it.
Yeah, but
I do
they
love
had
that Dorne is basically a courtyard.
Yes, the city of Dorne in the country of Dorne. They don't even bother to name the places that they're in. Don't care.
It is a courtyard.
Well, as far as her getting more screen time, too, the story is going to progress much more quickly this year or this season and the next season because it is condensed. And we're at the end of the story now. So there's not much more to build.
They spent a lot of time clearing people off the table last year, and you got to assume that that's going to continue especially with Dany. Like if she's starting from a position of strength, they have to take people away from her, or otherwise it's just not going to be a fair fight, or it'll just be boring. Like when is Dany going to crush all these people? We're just in a holding pattern until she does.
It's going to be a choice for her whether she wants to do it or not. It's not going to be whether she could or could not
do what or not.
Take everybody else out.
I feel like she's made that decision.
She's gonna meet resistance. I mean,
sure, she'll meet resistance, but this is history repeating itself. It's an entire theme that you can look at in this entire story. she's doing exactly what was done for the Targaryens from the origination of them coming to Westeros.
Sure.
There's no doubt that she has the ability to make everybody bend a knee.
So the drama in her story isn't going to be whether or not she's capable of crushing everyone. It's going to be whether her internal examination of whether this is what she wants to do.
Yeah, because it's either going to be she crushes everyone or she finds value in Westeros and she defends against the unknown force that's coming from north of the wall.
Wouldn't it basically be the choice of being Cersei and all the others and ignoring what's up north or joining Jon and facing the real threat, basically?
It's made me think of Big Pun. I'm not a pimp, but I crush a lot. Worst album ever bought.
I'm not a player.
Worst album
any of you guys ever bought?
The Fast and Furious soundtrack.
Well, that couldn't have been that bad.
It was pretty bad. I think it was anchored by Limp Bizkit.
Oh, wow. How old were you?
I was in high school, like 16 or 17.
That's getting close to indefensible.
I actually saw Limp Bizkit in concert on purpose.
I did too.
The hepatitis is just clearing up.
I drove to Pekin, Illinois.
A healthy hue has returned to your skin. The yellow has almost all faded away.
It was System of a Down open.
That's respectable.
Method Man, Red Man, and then Limp Bizkit.
Wow.
And WCW.
I bet they got along great backstage.
Which, by the way, it was Peoria. I don't know if you have got Peoria. They have two stadiums because across the street, WCW was filming. And they ran across the street, and Fred Durst, like, body slammed a WCW guy in the middle of the concert.
Was he a big Steve Austin fan?
I don't know.
Well, Austin wasn't WCW. This was probably
the Nitro Raw
Wars era, so the NWO. Exactly.
Yeah. What could have possibly compelled him to do that? Could it have been for the Nookie?
Yes.
He just kept rolling right through that guy.
Selling at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, Akira 25th anniversary edition.
Hey, that played in Atlanta, and I did not get a chance to see it. It was disappointing.
I'm a little upset at Phil for mentioning that sale because back to back, those were probably our best jokes that we've had.
Yeah,
at least
what gives,
Phil?
Minutes. What gives, Crone?
Yeah,
there was just enough dead time to slip it in.
Okay, so someone mentioned Jon Snow. We'll shift it on up north. He's the king of the north now. He's consolidated power up there, popular acclaim. Boltons are all dead, all gone. He doesn't seem to face any opposition in his part of the world aside from the White Walkers. But, I mean, he's safely behind the wall at this point. So I would imagine that he will be, like, spreading the word about them, maybe. I don't know. I don't know exactly what his – I don't really have any sense of what his plotline is.
I was just saying he looks terrified to be king of the north. Like, I was watching the last episode – and when they pan across his face as they're all chanting, he looks absolutely scared of everything. Which is good. No, it's good. I think that he should be. But I think
Time he was put in charge of anything, he got stabbed.
That's true.
And the last king of the North also got stabbed.
Right. No, I'm saying he should
then
be.
He got put in charge, and then he ran out to grab Bran.
Rickon.
Sorry.
And failed.
Rickon. So if Bran wouldn't have been running across.
He should have zigzagged.
Yeah. Bran definitely could not zigzag.
This is the second big character in a row where we're talking about, like, character development for them. I want to believe that the show can still do this kind of stuff. I don't think it will bother, just because there's 13 episodes
left. They're only concerned with getting to the end of the plot line.
Are you saying you want Jon Snow to grow into the role or of King of the North?
I think the show will just assume he's already there and proceed. Oh.
I'm going to say one thing that I disagree that he's not facing any opposition at this point. He's got one of the biggest oppositions still facing him, and it's right next to him.
Little finger.
I'm going to defend Joe Settner here. I don't know what John's plot point is other than that this season.
White Walkers?
Other than dealing with the Vale, because we still know, as far as we know in this world, this is the first time they have done anything. So they probably still have the biggest force of any of the kingdoms.
That's because they don't have to do shit because no one can attack them.
Precisely.
It's like attacking Australia at risk.
How much do you think we're really going to see the White Walkers this season, period?
Really?
I
don't think we're going to see them much.
I think based on the trailer, they spent a lot of time in blizzard conditions.
Yeah, so I don't
think that could very well be behind the wall, but it could equally be, you know, past the wall as well.
I mean, I think that seems like the plot line.
Narrowed it down.
For, yeah.
No, I think
job.
I
if it's see. If it's not one,
but it's not it's the directly other. On yeah. top of the wall. There's no time spent directly on top of the wall.
I
don't know that. I don't want to make assertions.
It's like it's like rolling double zero in a roulette.
Well, I think they're going to be very much involved in the last two episodes of this season, because anytime you're going to split a season in half like they are, you're going to end it on like the biggest down you possibly can. All hope is lost, and leave it for the next yes. for the next half season.
That's like what they did with Harry Potter.
I think that's definitely expected, is that the shit south of the wall wrapped itself up. There's a clear winner. A lot of opposition is wiped out, and then right at that moment, like, the wall comes down, because the wall comes down
and the ice dragon comes out.
The saddest part in Harry Potter to have ended on, or the most dangerous part, was when him and Hermione.
What's her name?
Hermione. That's not right. That's an incorrect way to say it, Shane. That's why everyone's laughing at you.
Oh, God. That's how the guy who reads a book says it, too.
I wouldn't know the answer.
I've actually read the book.
How are you able to get through an hour of that if some English guy keeps saying Hermione?
Because he also always says Harry.
That sounds like English euphemism.
Hey, guys. 10:09 a.m. Free State of Jones, Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD, Amazon Pass. Prime Day.
I wouldn't pay more than $4 for that.
How dare you?
Okay. Y'all need to shut up about Hermione.
So we might have gotten into a Harry Potter discussion there briefly, but we were distracted by Shane's awful pronunciation that no one ever has pronounced ever in the history of words. So jumping back down south, Cersei on the Iron Throne, undisputed ruler in the south, if you don't count Dorne and the Reach, where Highgarden is in the Tyrells. But she blew everybody up last season after spending pretty much the entire sixth season at a low point. It didn't affect her. Anyway, she's back on top. No big deal. She's got a reticent Jaime with her. She's got Qyburn. She's got the Mountain.
Okay. She thinks she's on top, and she's going to die because her brother's going to kill her, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, can we go to the King's Landing make-believe casino and set a prop here?
Sure.
Cersei makes it to 2018 plus 250. Are you taking that bet?
That's $100 pays you 250?
Yes. Kissel is the only one who knows how odds work. Are you taking that bet?
I don't think so. She's like the third lead by this point. I think her, Danny, or John probably is going to die this season, just because that's what Game of Thrones is. It's big characters dying when you not necessarily least expect it, but things play out as they should, and they don't necessarily have plot armor as much as they if they get themselves into an irreconcilable situation, then they die. And I think
I'm not saying I disagree with your bet, but the argument against that bet is you're saying if they take her out, that means they're wrapping up all of the side wars, and it's just going to be White Walkers versus everybody for the final season.
Well, you still got to gather everyone.
But that's – yeah, no, I'm with Sean here. Like, that's a final three episodes thing, not a final season thing.
I do kind of question
– I disagree. I think she's incredibly unimportant at this point, and I wouldn't be surprised if she makes it to the last season. But
see, I think she's this season's Ramsay. I think she's going to be all over the place.
I would say Euron's the next Ramsay in many ways. But for Cersei, I don't know. I think at this point, is Joe's bold thing, because he said it last year with like two episodes ago. So do we still count it if it happens this year?
Joe's bold thing being that an old woman gets her face smashed in?
No, I think that holds forever. I think that holds forever, that one. But no, that Jaime just shows up and stabs Cersei in the back. I mean, I mean, it didn't happen when he got there.
It's going to happen.
If they want to be
bold at this point,
if they want to be super tidy about it, she'll plot to blow up the whole of the city when her back is really against the wall, and then, like Jamie did with the Mad King, he'll kill her too to prevent that from happening.
I think more likely it's going to be she's fighting against Daenerys and Jon Snow, and Jamie's going to recognize her for what she is, and that's batshit crazy, and he's going to finish her off.
I say he doesn't protect Tyrion.
Wait.
He's going to finish her off again.
What kind of finish her off?
he's got accessories now, so.
Yeah. And
we're talking about two different things.
Phil, quick.
Oh, he's talking. My God. Sorry, guys.
There's probably some sort of vibrating gel on Amazon tomorrow.
Starting at 11:35. Starting at 11:35 a.m. tomorrow, The Croods, starring Nicolas Cage as a caveman.
Is filthy. Just raunchy as all hell.
I think they're making a sequel.
No, it's they announced one and they've shelved it.
This is why we so value your contributions, Phil, and we so miss you, having lost so much of your efforts to the FML. You got your finger on the pulse of obscure animated movie titles.
I can't believe they only give you 2 minutes of a podcast no one else listens to.
I know.
If it's not you just saying mediocre movie club, all over and over and over again for 2 minutes, then I feel like you're wasting your time.
I probably am wasting my time if I do that. Starting at 2:20 p.m., that was so bad I just moved on. A movie I might buy, A Monster Calls, starring Liam Neeson as a monster who calls.
I expected to like that more than I did. It's not a bad movie by any means. It just left me pretty cold.
What's my over-under for buying it? Like, what price point is good?
I don't know what your threshold $6.50 for media is. I know what mine is, which is zero. Like not blind buy. I don't blind buy Blu-rays anymore.
Okay, that's fair.
Speaking of things that are cold, the Night's King up above the wall, he's showed up in a few trailers, so we're definitely going to see him. But as far as what context, as far as who is even beyond the wall anymore at this point, like there are no more named characters up there. So you're right. Retracted. Benjen and Bran and Mira are all up there. But it's not like they're moving. It's not like they're going north. They're going south.
Do we necessarily have to disconnect the Night King and Bran?
No, not at all.
Oh, they're connected forever now.
Are they different people?
I mean, at this moment.
Yeah, that's
just throwing it out there.
So, Bran is our first wild card as far as out of the big players. Joe, it seems like you're sitting on some explosive information when it comes to Bran and the Night King. So, just go for it.
Nothing explosive so much as if we know Bran has this ability to go back in time, as we saw with Hodor, rest in peace, why can't he also be the Night King? I'm referencing a theory that's out there on the internet.
Like, so have we established what the time travel rules are in this world? Are we dealing with Terminator rules?
You're thinking harder about it than literally anyone.
But the thing I know. Is there's
all time travel rules are second to time travel.
Riley? And if Michael J. Fox can do it, certainly Bran can do it.
I mean, Back to the Future is laden with a lot of incest, so it's right up Game of Thrones' alley.
Back to the Future, not available on the Amazon Prime deals. I have not seen it. RoboCop is, though.
Oh, that's worth buying. That's worth
the new one or the old one?
The old, it's the two old. It's the old ones.
Okay, yeah.
That would we really consider the new one? Nah, never mind.
Definitely not.
Movie's supposed to be okay.
Anyways, Night King. There's a theory out there that connects Bran and the Night King, and it essentially says that Bran is stuck in this position as whatever the hell he is. He's not a tree like the other guy was, but
he's paralyzed. He's a paraplegic. My God.
He somehow, you know, becomes the Night King, and Jon Snow is left, you know, fighting basically the one, like his closest sibling.
There's a lot we don't know about the Night's King and what his powers like. Is he Apocalypse from X-Men Apocalypse, where he needs to keep putting his body into new vessels? Like, if that's the case, then sure, Brain would be not ideal because his legs don't work, but
can we
he's
not
a powerful individual. Sure, yeah, it wasn't a good movie, but it's relevant.
We also have theories that Bran is the same Bran the Builder and other people who existed throughout Westeros' history. So, I mean, they're all out there, and he could be anybody, I guess, if you want to really get into the time travel. But I guess I don't see the show taking that route toward the time.
There's so much exposition they would have to lay in these next 13 episodes to get that out. And the show has moved away from exposition in its last several seasons. Like, it was bad at it in the first couple years, but they did the origin of the White Walkers last year. I feel like that was pure fan service in a way, like just answering a question that no one is really needing an answer to. So as far as just laying out more of these mystical details seems,
I think that's more of a George R. R. Martin thing, because he had a lot laid out for the White Walkers very early on in his manuscripts, from what I've read. I mean, that's how they started the entire series off.
Yeah, but we don't know anything about their life cycles or how many of them are there.
This is why I'm most interested in Bran's storyline compared to the rest. It's because you get all these answers that I'm genuinely curious about him.
He is absolutely one of those interesting ones out there. But
or you're gonna end up lost and you don't ever answer where the dang old polar bears come from.
I mean, if it's just the White Walkers after the wall inevitably collapses or whatever's gonna happen and they get into the rest of the kingdoms, it can't just be Lord of the Rings where good characters are fighting the bad characters. That's not what this show is. At least I hope that's not what this show is. It'll have to be more complicated in some way. And if Bran is leading a White Walker army, then okay, that's a little more interesting.
You know who one of the biggest influences on George R. R. Martin is, right?
Yeah, influences in
as far as what not to do.
Right. I don't think he mimics them in many ways. It's just one of his many favorite authors that he's influenced by, but I don't think he actually...
J.R.R. Tolkien.
He's the one who wrote the Hobbit movies.
Jupiter Ascending, 6:35 p.m.
Not... No amount of money.
Yeah, I agree.
So, anything can happen with Bran. They could take him to reunite with his family, they could go back in his past, they could do both of those things, they could go way far back into Westeros history and lay the groundwork for the prequel series or the sequel series that are likely to happen.
Maybe they'll do a TLC intervention show with them.
With Bran?
You gotta get off the tree, man.
Jesus.
All of a sudden, he starts taking shaky steps. He can walk again all of a sudden. Holy shit, it was the tree the whole time.
Psychosomatic.
6:50 p.m. Eastern. Jason Bourne. Did anyone see the new Jason Bourne?
No.
I haven't seen any of them.
I didn't hear good things.
Is that the new Damon one, or is that the Renner one?
The new Damon one. Saw it in the theater. Only time I've ever done this in the theater, I took a crap in the middle of that movie.
Wow. You should probably
just like
went to the bathroom. Went to the bathroom.
I assumed you met in the middle of the row.
Could have been.
Before we move on from
why
Bran,
not both?
Before we move on from Bran, Sean, if you could have Bran's power and go back in time and see one event, what is it?
Does that non Game of Thrones related any historical time period?
Real life.
I'm gonna have to go with the Hindenburg disaster.
How close are you to the radio announcer? Because I feel like that's 75% of it.
Yeah, I'm sure it was spectacular.
Yeah.
The heat.
I never picked that.
Yeah. All right. All right.
You just don't have a strong attachment to history like Sean does.
I'm just over stunned. The Hindenburg?
Top five things about Hindenburg.
Top five games.
Some guy named Clarence. Some lady named Mildred.
Yes. This one, Mildred died of being burned alive. Harold died of being burned alive.
I want to correct that. 12 Mildreds, 17 Harolds.
Adolphus died asphyxiation.
I know you're talking about like a flying vessel that people burned up in dying, but it made me think of the Challenger and the
God. Bold stance.
7:09
They were crisis actors. Crisis actors blew up in the Challenger.
7:09 p.m. Bad Moms goes on sale on Amazon Prime.
Not worth it.
No, it's not. Not a great movie.
It's you kept saying they burned up alive, but there's strong evidence that in the Challenger.
Okay, Phil, keep going. Sorry, this is how did, I thought it was.
How did those hero scientists? How did their lives end, Joe?
It's either from loss of the air pressure or whatever messed them up, or the impact with the ocean.
If we start talking about whether jet fuel can burn through steel, I'm gone.
Challenger 7, inside job. They pulled it. You know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know why we lost 2 likes on our Facebook this week.
Neither do I. That really sticks in my craw. It bites the shit out of me. Who are these people? Anyways, Joe, if your bold stance comes up, again, just blast it out there. So our next wild card is Arya. We last saw her kind of completing her faceless man training or just not wanting to do it anymore. It's unclear. She didn't get like a degree or a certificate or anything. She's able to take a word for it. She ended the season in the towers, killing Walder Frey after feeding 2 of his sons to him. So that happened so abruptly that it robbed the moment of any power for me in retrospect. And I've been coming down on Arya for like 2 seasons now. She used to be my favorite character far and away.
Can we go back to King's Landing's make-believe casino of props?
Sure. Sure.
Arya plus 450 is the one who kills Cersei. That's good odds.
I don't know what else she would do except try and complete her list. So that seems like a reasonable potentiality.
I'm not taking that bet. No way. I don't think Arya kills Cersei.
Not even a plus 450?
Not even a plus 450.
That's a sucker bet.
I don't understand odds, though, so John's
I mean,
not fair.
I mean, you're talking like, plus 450, 7-2. We consider the possibility
that I know of.
Low. Those seem like pretty low odds for a scenario that would have to happen before Jaime kills Cersei, and like that's just the most obvious answer. And like last season, as great as parts of last season were, they did repeatedly go with the most obvious.
They did. That's true.
Answer
like
every
maybe
time.
In season 4 or something like that would have happened. The last, but with how last season went, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably going to be what we're driving towards. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing.
No. Like if it's earned, it's totally fine.
Right. Agreed.
Hey, a lot of the world leaders have been dying from poison. What are the what are my plus like what 1500 for hot pie to poison a wolf cake for?
No bet.
Hot pie would never do such a thing. I would give that like
his wolf bread is pure.
Yeah. He would never sully it with any negative. It's only the best.
How long would you cry
the best ingredients?
Hot pie comes back.
He wasn't even on the fantasy draft list.
He deserves a good death, let's be honest.
Why does
he deserves to
die?
Live happily in the forest, cooking delightful pastries.
I think hot pie should be up in the Challenger.
I think one fish should go in Elena Tyrell's face, and the other fish should go in Hot Pie's face, and they should both just be smashed into the ground until there's nothing left. Is that the bold stance for this episode?
I need Elena Tyrell to last a long time for my fantasy.
Yeah.
But no, the whole thing of the show is, a good death. Like, everybody gets a memorable death. He needs a good death.
That's like the storytelling device the show occasionally uses, but it's good for characters to make it out. Like, it shouldn't all just be death and destruction. Pot pie is the source of hope and joy for the future in this show. If anyone needs to make it out, it's hot pie.
7:14 p.m. We got a real showdown between movies. You can only buy one of these. Kubo and the Two Strings.
The second one's going to have to be really good.
Manchester by the Sea.
All right, I'd buy Manchester by the Sea. No.
I would buy Kubo
just because it's more visually dazzling.
Did you like Manchester by the Sea that much?
Yeah, I loved it. It was my second favorite movie of the year.
What was your favorite?
The Lobster.
You're bad at picking movies.
I'm excellent. My list stood up right next to any other critics. It just had all the good stuff on there.
Where'd you rank Moonlight? The best movie, according to the Academy.
Three.
Well, you were too off.
Sorry. La La Land didn't make it.
That's probably fair. That movie's fine.
I stand by it. So next wild card, we mentioned them a little earlier, Sansa and Littlefinger. Littlefinger doesn't seem to have a lot more oomph in the show left. He's kind of just, all of his ambition has been reduced to, I would like this teenager to have sex with me. So
what man's ambition isn't reduced to that at some point, Kissel?
Shane, can you cut that sentence and just save it for later?
No, I'm going to keep it.
When we need it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to representing Phil Crow in the future.
Gosh, the episodes that we do with Ashley and Blair and Megan are just going to be so different. I can't imagine why.
So sad. I'm not going to be honest.
What sex that men are looking for in teenagers, did he?
So, Sansa's, in my mind, Sansa's a spoiler. Like, she's going to fuck shit up for people.
I'm still of the mind that she's going to end up on the Iron Throne when it's all said and done.
Possible. But who really cares about the Iron Throne in the end? And do we?
I think the Iron Throne's going to be melted.
That's what I'm hoping. It melts in dragon fire.
That'd be cool. I think she's in charge of the wreckage then.
Yeah.
She's going to be on the Iron Pile.
If we're thinking about endings of the series, like Lord of the Rings style, good versus evil fight against the White Walkers is a shitty way for the show to go. In my mind, another shitty way for the show to go is just the cycle continues. Someone new is on the Iron Throne, and that's all that this show is about, was just who gets to sit on a chair.
Right, I think that's exactly what the show is not, and not that you were saying that, you're saying it's a shitty way, but I think that's what the whole purpose of the show is to break the cycles that have been repeating itself.
Sure, yeah. I'm just saying if somebody's going to happen to end up on it.
And I don't think Sansa, and especially Littlefinger, don't have the innovation or the inclination to change the world that much. So they can't. For the ending that I want for the show, I'm not rooting for either of them.
Littlefinger doesn't want the world to change. He benefits from
it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sansa, at this point, is going to be ruthless with whatever she wants, but I don't think she wants for much. I think she wants to be at home and just do what she wants to do. I mean, like, in Winterfell.
She wants Tyrion back. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, Bill? God. Did we ever talk about this? Do we think there's some maybe secret she wanted Jon to get killed in that battle?
It's impossible to know what she wanted out of that battle because her actions made no sense.
It's a fair point.
Like, the show fucked up Arya. The show fucked up Sansa, too.
Yeah.
Euron. Bobby, you mentioned Euron. I think.
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty major. I don't know, you know, how much he's going to be, I don't know. Showcase,
another spoiler.
But I think just no. He's just going to be dangerous in general to many people. So,
what's he doing, book dorks? Come on.
He's
not even his character. It's
yeah.
I mean, how much do you want me to say? There's been chapters released from the new books about him that tell quite a bit. So,
yeah, and the show character is a combination of
right of many of the Greyjoy brothers.
Oh. Yeah.
But
I don't want to hear it.
I think they're going to take a lot of the Euron from the book anyway, because he's, you know, at the same kind of point where he's stronger than the rest. So I think he's just going to be a prominent foe, and kind of in the Ramsay style, but if worse.
And Dany has the other two Greyjoys who are against Euron, so it follows that Euron's going to probably ally with Cersei, because we kind of skipped over it a little earlier, but like if Dany is starting from a position of strength and then to make it dramatically interesting, she has to lose some of that strength before a big climax. Cersei is the opposite. Cersei is weak, and she has to gain strength so that this battle is in any way equal. So a big way that she gains strength would be for her to get a huge navy. Somehow, like, I don't, it, like Euron just said, clear every tree off of these barren islands, and we're going to make thousands of ships. And he can just make it happen, apparently. Whatever.
They're probably there. I mean, they're already done. It's only 5 minutes in the show.
Yeah, fish a hair like that, you can do what you want.
The Hound, another wild card. He's meeting up with the Brotherhood Without Banners. I assume they're just going to fight White Walkers in like a suicide mission. Although, who really knows?
Are you talking about the Hound?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, sure, why not?
But, okay. Who does he need to confront?
No, I mean, his brother.
There's still time for the Clegane Bowl.
But you wonder if he runs across Arya again or Brienne again. But no, I think ultimately everyone wants to see him face off against the Mountain, of course.
I read a fan theory. This is usually Joe's area of the Reddit fan theories, but I saw something today about the Hound is the only one that knows Littlefinger betrayed Ned Stark.
Eh, who cares anymore?
But if Sansa and Arya find out.
Right, and there's a Hound and Sansa story still left, more so in the book than here, though.
God, that's gross.
No, but right, I don't mean like that, but in some kind
I
of
think
like
a lot epic. Of a lot of book fans mean exactly like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he's heading in that direction. They will probably stop at Winterfell.
He's got to see his little bird. Is that what he called her? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, you guys know where else the Hound is heading?
Where's that, Riley?
Tonight's power rankings.
Yes!
Yes!
Nice! That's what we call a segue.
Yes. So our power rankings were inspired by Hodor on the KFC commercial with the chicken and fries the other day. Also, Shame Sister with the Soda Stream. So Game of Thrones are really, really hot in the commercial advertisement world. It's going to continue. So these are the top five future Game of Thrones tie-ins for commercials. Number five, Jorah Mormont for Aveeno Daily Lotion. Talking about his dry, crackly skin.
Sure.
Cures his gray sail. All of a sudden, at the end of the commercial, the Hound pops in. It works on facial burns, too.
Uh-huh. I imagine this as a series where the background players in this commercial are also coming down with grayscale, just gradually one by one. There's like five commercials and they're all just dead men. By the end of it. Yeah,
that was completely different from the background of Jorah Mormont thinking about Danny. Lotion. Never mind.
He was jerking it yeah, while he was thinking yeah, about her. And the lotion just makes more blood.
I've already established it as at least two usage. Number four, we all saw Maisie Williams' non-Thrones acting abilities in Heatstroke.
Did we?
So, yeah.
she was
those
much
of us
better
who chose in, to watch that movie.
Much better yes. Doctor Who, by the way.
Yeah, well, who watches that English crap? But
back to Game of Thrones.
Doctor Who? More like Doctor Who? Nailed it.
So, Arya Stark.
Coming
to local network television near you. She's going to be selling Halloween masks at the Knick Knackery. So we're going to have our... Think of your awful local TV advertiser where the guy's basically screaming at the camera, yo, we have clown masks, we have scream masks, we have this and that. Final mask she pulls off, it ends up being herself, and then she stabs the announcer. It's going to work great.
And then there's a disclaimer saying the Knick Knackery had to sell all of our stores to pay for this commercial. We no longer exist.
I'm covering that later.
Okay. For the listener, the Knick Knackery is a costume shop in Evansville.
Number three, I think Tyrion Lannister is going to license his own brand of pub trivia because he drinks and he knows things.
Nice.
Number two, Sonic. Sonic Constant, every show I watch has those two morons talking about their slushies or whatever. Well, let's just say that Sonic's going to release a new line of little chicken fingers, as well as a new formula for the foot long hot dogs. So while the two idiots are trying to figure out what to eat, Littlefinger's going to go on a long monologue about how you may not realize it, but the Littlefingers are going to be the best down the line. And then camera pans over to Ramsay, shaking the wiener like he is during the Theon torture, and the moron from the Sonic commercial orders a wiener. And our final number one commercial, Jon Snow and Ygritte. So Kit Harington, Rose Leslie, we're going to recreate the classic bow nose commercials from the late 80s.
I'm in. Whatever it is, continue, please.
So first we're going to line them up with some baseball. Bryce Harper's going to be there. He's going to say, Snow knows baseball. Unfortunately, Jon Snow's swing and a miss. He's pretty bad at all these sports. He's going to go to basketball. We got Steph Curry. Go to hockey. We got Sidney Crosby. Gradually, Rose Leslie is seeming a little confused and annoyed. Eventually, says, you know nothing, Jon Snow. Gets in the car, driven by Bo Jackson, license plate Bo Knows, commercial over.
Kind of amazed that isn't commercial already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pay me the money.
All your ideas belong to Mediocre Club.
I need you to walk over to the Evansville Athletics part of campus and let them know that they need some new marketing unit there for hire, and then just show them this podcast. I think it's going to work.
All right. Thank you, Brian Hartman.
And make sure that they do a 5-star Amazon or iTunes review before you actually give it to them, though. That'll be our down payment.
Well, I did have a sponsor for our power rankings.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, our power rankings are brought to you by the Edard Stark Ad Agency, where our motto is don't lose your head trying to decide if we have the license for these celebrity endorsements.
Jeez. Good Lord. Okay, so we got two wild cards left. Melisandre heading off down south. Presumably, this is in the trailers, she's going to go meet up with Dany. She'll just be drawn to her in some way because Dany's got the dragons. For lore, what she can offer to Dany, who knows? We feel like she'll have to whip out some new tricks beyond what we've already seen from her just to keep her interesting. It could literally be anything. Like, they could just make up something for her, and great.
There's a joke here somewhere that I can't find.
Smoke vagina assassin?
I feel like that's over. She hasn't done that again since, even though many situations have called for it. So.
Well, it took a lot out of her.
She had to be impregnated or whatever by Stannis, so she needs to go do that again first.
Yeah, I think she offered that to Jon, but Jon didn't take her up on it.
Correct.
That's why you keep Varys around.
She does have like a promise of running into Arya again still floating out there from like whatever.
That was obscure enough that they have to pay it off.
Right, I agree.
Speaking of the Lord of Light, Kunvara was a draftable character, but I kind of felt like we're never gonna see her again.
I would like to. Or I missed her any more scenes than the one she was in the last season.
Brian, what a great scene.
For what it's worth, hasn't Gendry been a draftable character for like 12 seasons?
Yeah, but he's coming back.
God.
Is that established? Is that known?
He's like, I think Watchers in the Wall have him.
It is known, John.
It is known.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
No, but Brian drafted the whole Religion of Light ministry over here with Melisandre, Kunvara, and Thoros.
He did.
Yeah, he did. It's like taking three running backs from the same team. That's just silly.
So that's the religious path. The science path is down in Old Town with Sam. I don't expect him to have like a major role to play, but who knows? Maybe he uncovers some giant piece of information and gets and runs it back up north.
Thought about the astrolabe. I mean, that thing blew up on the internet when it came across the screen.
The what?
The astrolabe, the thing that we see in the beginning of the credits with all the insignias on it.
Yeah, I thought he said astroglide.
Really? Say that again?
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Oh, it was a lube joke. Never mind. go ahead with whatever anyone else was going to say.
No, so it's just, I think that's going to play a part. And I think whether it's this season or next, Sam's obviously going to have some important role to play toward the final outcome, I would assume.
He was the problem I have. Go ahead.
The problem with Sam having such a major role discovering something is if there's all this information that's out there and available, then what are the maesters doing? Like,
well,
are they're supposed to be studying.
Yeah, but look at most maesters are not very, good at their jobs.
Right. And plus, they're focused on completely other aspects of the job. A lot of them focus on getting their chains linked early on or getting the links of the chain, whatever you want to call it.
It's also not a big thing in the show, but in the books, it's well pointed out that the Citadel doesn't care about magic and wants to kind of push it out of the world and all kinds of knowledge. So all this stuff happened up north.
The right. Dragons, like right. They're largely responsible for them dying out.
Right. So they don't really want to concern themselves or even believe anything that's happening up north is probably going on.
And it is still reasonable for people in the south to not believe people in the north about White Walkers and that kind of stuff.
Well, it's not snowing there yet.
And also, look at the very beginning of the show when the maester up there?
Lewin,
Maester Lewin, how he treated Old Nan and talked about Old Nan's stories. Old Nan's stories have really been proven true.
They're all true.
Yeah, and Lewin is wrong.
I think Bran's going to have a flashback, and Old Nan's going to be able to see him.
I think we're never going to see that character again.
Old Nan, didn't they say Old Nan died in one of the towns?
I mean, she was in Winterfell. She was in Winterfell when Ramsay sacked it. So I wouldn't expect good things to happen to her.
Like in time and watches something, Old Nan's going to be the one person who can see him.
It's going to be Young Nan.
Yeah, so there's my bold prediction.
We don't think the show has time for like character motivations with Jon Snow or Cersei, like one and two or three on the call sheet, but they 100% have time to revisit an old ass lady who had like two scenes from the first season.
She's a fan favorite.
I mean, everything she said has come true. So I mean,
I haven't seen any giant spiders.
Yeah. Well, also, Young Nan is an Indian rapper.
It's pronounced Young Nan.
Oh, yeah.
Young Nan.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
can I throw something out about Sam?
We'll make this the last thing said.
It's going to be interesting, like with what Bobby said about the astrolabe and how that astrolabe is presented in the opening credits. It's specifically presented over a map, and I think we've got a really big opportunity to see what the Sam character is. And I'm going to throw this out there too. There's another theory out there that he is like the narrator of this story that we're learning.
The story is him writing the book in the stories in the library.
So exactly. He's George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
I would find that deeply corny if we leave Game of Thrones with a shot of Samwell Tarly being old, writing in a book, and closing it dramatically.
And he's wearing one of those weird old hats that George R. R. Martin wears and the glasses. Wasn't that a doozy?
He yells back to Gilly, who wants him to come to bed, like, they've been waiting for this book forever, Gilly. It's all filmed with... it's all filmed to Sam's back, and he finally turns around, and it's actually George R. R. Martin in the show, cast as Sam. Yeah, I think we cracked it.
That's some Stephen King Dark Tower shit right there.
Oh, God. Oh, that sounds awful.
I'm just delivering what the internet is talking about.
Okay. Great. So we're going to wrap up this preview episode with some capital B brief talk about the fantasy draft. That we did. This is a contest that our group runs between us. The draft aired on our public Facebook page. I love it because it is utterly random and arbitrary. The points are allotted by some TV critic that works for some site. It's just whatever she likes that week. I think that's brilliant. I think
it's fantastic.
More things should be decided utterly randomly and arbitrarily.
That's why my favorite drinking game in college was Kyle arbitrarily hands out drinks.
That was a great game.
Great game.
I think we did miss an opportunity with Mirai, whatever, because she has had sex in every season, and that's big points. So it's probably going to happen again. Well, no.
It still amazes me that I was able to pick Jon Snow in the first round with the fifth pick.
Oh, Joe and JR screwed it all up.
I feel like it's totally possible that Joe's entire lineup will be dead by episode 3.
My thinking
For the listener, Joe has picked Yara, Olenna Tyrell, Barrick Dondarrion, Randall Tarley, and Tyco. I mean,
Yara was a number one draft pick.
Yes, number 3. Picked before Jon Snow, before Arya, before Sansa, before Cersei.
My thinking on Jon Snow was this, was that his big story is going to come next season.
And it seems like a lot of points get allotted by characters improving their status, rising in the ranks, getting new titles. Jon Snow's not going to get a new title. So, okay, yes, that's defensible.
Yes.
That's why I did not like the Night's King as the first pick.
See, I mean, think it depends, too, because like last year they had groups of the White Walkers, the Dragons, and Religions. If they mix that in with their leader, Dany and the Night's King and others are in for big points.
Well, I don't think the Night's King is going to happen, and why the Night's King is
going to get 1,000 points when they kill a dragon and then he raises it from the dead.
That could be.
That'd be big.
Is that on the list? Like the TV critic whose name we don't know.
If it's not, it's weird categories. To an ad. Yeah.
Yeah. Kill a Dragon is on the list, but Resurrection is also on the list.
If he resurrects a dragon, that's game over, right?
Or he already has the Ice Dragon in the wall.
Ugh.
If he resurrects your enemy,
I think superfan Megan, who will be joining us in these podcasts eventually, I think she picked really well. Getting Littlefinger and Jaime, and if you're going to pick someone from Dorne, Ilaria Sand is the way to go. And like Ghost is probably going to have a lot, not a lot to do because they don't like direwolves. But she picked last in the round, so
yeah,
that would be impressive if she pulled out the win. We'll keep everyone updated with our episode recaps, how the fantasy draft is doing. We will be back next week with a recap of the season 7 premiere of Game of Thrones. We will be recording on Monday, and if not putting it out that night, if not getting it edited and packaged and everything, then we will 100% have it on Tuesday night. So that's our promise to you.
I'm going to sound silly with all these Prime Day deals if this isn't up tonight.
It's not going to be up tonight. There's no chance of that.
Well, now I sound like an idiot.
Okay. I'm not going to cut him out. This lineup will be gracing the airwaves again for the premiere, and then we'll be alternating Riley and Phil and Joe out, and Superfan Megan and Ashley and Blair in, and then we'll be rotating. We just can't do the 9 people. It's too many. It's too much. People can't get a word in. It's just not great.
You might not be able to do the 9 people, John. But
anyway,
yes, got him.
Better late than never. Well, check us out on the internet at MediaCommunity.club. We are discussing the Netflix movie Okja at the moment. We have Tour de Pharmacy coming up next week, the Andy Samberg mini movie that just showed up on HBO. Phil recently wrote a side piece on there about Spider-Man Homecoming. Recently wrote one about Lego Batman. Like us on Facebook at Media Community Club. Follow us on Twitter, Media Community Club. Click on our Amazon link. Shop normally. We greatly appreciate it. We also appreciate it when you give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. It helps us reach more people.
And read my weekly recaps on fantasymovieleague.com.
How dare you?
Phil's going to edit this 13
seconds. That was like 7 plugs.
I'm working on a retrospective. We can throw that in there as well.
A retrospective for Phil? Because we're going to travel to Louisville and murder him for that.
a retrospective on the Wonder Years.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, sure. That sounds fine. More content.
You watched it with your kids?
No, I've already watched it all.
Okay, great. Something else to look forward to. Thank you for joining me tonight, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Bye, guys.
Have a good night.